the boards. Well, you're a big 3D printer. I'm not. So you would just buy the boards and print your own cases. But in my case, I'd have to find cases or buy cases. And I don't know. We'll see. It. I have a couple of, like, small utility pole boxes style that I could build some nodes in. That's probably what I'll get to after I buy something. I think I'm going to buy a node that I'm going to put up a little bit higher and get solar on it and see where that goes. I don't know. I'm thinking about putting it up on top of my house, but I also don't want it up on top of my house because you do have to do firmware updates. And I don't need to go up on the roof every time I have to firmware update. I don't know. It's all a pain in the butt. Got to decide what I want to do with it.
NACBF. Well, you know a guy with a 3D printer, and I'll make you whatever you need. I'm sure there's tons of files out there for that kind of stuff. So if you ever need stuff, let me know. And you're in the same situation with Noah as I am with amateur radio right now. Like, I have the itch to buy more equipment, but, like, I'm getting by totally fine-ish with just an HT and that mag mount that I got from you. But I'm also tossed around the idea of a mobile or just wiring in this amp I got from Sean that I still got to pay him for. So, I hear you. Too many options.
Yeah, that amp, is that for a mobile or for your HT?
It's an HT amp, and it's 5N 80 out, UHF. It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be, so I don't know where I would mount it in my truck. And then my other concern is fire hazard. If it's not an OEM or an official, I forgot what the brand was. Am I going to catch my truck on fire? So those are my two main concerns. I might test it at home because it's easy for me to do. I'll just hook it up to a battery or a Blue Yeti and see how it works.
You know, I wonder, like you said, even just using it at home, I wonder if that could push you out a little bit further and be able to hit some repeaters from your house using that amp. I mean, man, that'd be pretty useful in and of itself just at home.
I can hit Romeo from my kitchen on an HT. Not super clean, but it's doable. That was with my VX6. I don't even think I've tried it on this Kenwood yet. But, yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, these new vehicles, they're making it harder and harder to put stuff in. Like, everything is so much harder to get to. You know, this truck's big enough that I could put a normal... I wouldn't do, like, that 5100. I would never do that again. Those screens are ridiculous. But I could probably get, like, a 500 and put it above my mirror, and it'd be pretty incog. And then I've been looking at...
You dropped out.
All right, am I back now?
Yeah, you are. What did you say you're looking at?
Ideally, like a 500, FTM 500, or something that's got a detachable head and a speaker in the head. Because I could put that up on my mirror, and that would work perfectly. And then I was looking at stake pocket antenna mounts, which I can make up, where I wouldn't have to drill anything in my truck. It's not going to be hitting paint. I could just run the coax up into the bed, under the bed rail, and into the stake pocket, and then be able to pop the antenna on and off or fold it down, whatever I didn't want it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
Then there's the flip side of me who's like, there's really only a couple spots on my entire truck to work that my radio doesn't work, so kind of like a cell phone. Verizon doesn't work for crap at my house right now, but it works everywhere else. Kind of live with it.
Yeah, you know, when I met up with Sean the other day, I grabbed a couple of radios from him, and I got that little mini ICOM, but I also grabbed a small Radiodity 20-watt GMRS radio that you can unlock, but it has a cigarette lighter plug-in. It'd be super easy in and out with a mag mount antenna. You could just have it sitting there when you want to use it and have it put away when you don't. It's actually a pretty decent radio.
I had one of those, a DB20G. They work great. Problem is I don't have cigarette plugs in my damn truck.
Wait, you put cigarette plugs out of vehicles?
Dakota, they took cigarette lighters out of vehicles, or the plugs.
As of 2024, Chevy does not have a truck.
Wow, that's wild. I lost you there. Ever since something.
I thought that was a break. Maybe not. No, I was trying to plug something in the other day and I couldn't remember what it was. It was actually a radio. I was trying to plug in my Yaesu HD charger and I'm like, I don't have a cigarette plug in here.
Could you wire a, like a USB or USB-C to Anderson and then just do it that way?
That I don't know, but I do have a 110 plug, so I just grabbed, like, my Kenwood charging with the wall ward it came with, and, that's what I've been doing with any other radio.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's nice, except, right, except for the fact that you're trying to use, there's a lot of things that I still have that I plug into a cigarette lighter, a tire pump, all kinds of things.
Yeah, I wasn't... Dude, I don't know what's up with this radio or this HD, but it'll randomly unkey and freak out. I wasn't even upset from like, oh no, I can't light my cigarettes anymore. It was like a...
Yeah, it would be frustrating.
I might be sending this Kenwood in, man. I don't know what it's doing, but, like, it'll randomly not let me, I don't know if it's a speaker mic or what, but it'll randomly not transmit if I hit the button, or randomly unkey, and then it won't work for a bit, and then it'll work again after a couple seconds.
Yeah, that's super weird. For as much as that radio costs, I'd be sending it in.
But it only does it with Kenwood speaker mics, because Greg gave me that one, and it went crazy with it, so I ordered one on Amazon. I have a brand new one I'm on right now, and it's doing similar things, but with my Wotion cheap one, it works fine, so I don't know. I did post in the Kenwood group, and some lady was like, I have learned that if I'm plugging in accessories to my Kenwood, I do it when they're powered off, or else they do some weird stuff. So I did plug this in while it was on.
Well, that's super odd, but also believable. Did you get out shooting any geese this weekend? KARUH.
It's the speaker mic. He's coming loose. No, I did not. We had a wedding Saturday, and then I actually, for the first time since we moved, I had a day to do what I wanted at the house. So I ripped some drones around, 3D printed a bit. Clean my truck, fix my trailer harness, you know, fun stuff.
All the fun stuff, that's so nice. I didn't get that one, Dakota.
Hold on, I'm gonna load the garbage.
Just really haven't had the opportunity. I am not. More along the lines of just because I've never done it.
I'm going to throw this radio. I have to pitch out on a bird hunter, a pigeon hunter or something.
you, sir.
I'm gonna move to it. Be a good time. Let me know when.
We'll do. Maybe we'll do a 700 or something. But, all right, man. Let's throw this radio. She's coming loose. And, something's wrong with the carry connector on the radio. Or it's got to be the radio. Because that's two Kenwood speaker mics that I've done it with. So I'm going to call HRO today and be like, what the hell? And the crappy thing is it's modded, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hopefully it works out well for you.
All right, man. Well, I'll catch you a bit later. I'm gonna not play radio right now before meets the pavement. And I'm almost work anyway, so I'll catch up with you. Any EDF, I'll be clear.
We'll talk to you soon, Dakota. K8RUH, still monitoring.
I forgot. What did you forget? I forgot to turn my radio on, but here I am. Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Oh, Sean, how about you?
Not bad. Looks like I'm a tad behind schedule, and then I didn't turn on my radio when I jumped in the car. I was listening to the AM/FM radio, and now I'm just driving into the sun.
Fine. Hey, I'm going to get your Venmo this afternoon and send you a little bit of cash.
Okay, everything worked out then? Well, I mean, I knew the DD20 was fine, but the little guy, I'm sure it was fine. It looked like it powered up. Okay, cool. I'll telegram that or text that or whatever. I'll get that over to you at some point.
And you know that the DD20 works awesome. What a cool little radio. And the I don't even know how to explain it, but the antenna is wiggling, and it has to do with the connection inside the radio. So I got to figure out if that's fixed. But it's going to power on and seem to keep up and everything, so I gotta see what I can do with that.
What's wiggly now? I missed that. What is intermittent?
When the antenna's screwed all the way on, it still wiggles as if it's a loose connection, maybe at the board or something like that. So I gotta see if I can take the case off and see what the problem may be. Which might also be way over my head. Who knows?
What's it doing? I mean, how does that manifest? What are you seeing?
So, thus far, it hasn't, that I can figure out, it hasn't affected the functionality. My concern is that when it's wiggling like that, if it continues to wiggle, it may just break internally. So, I've got to figure out if it's fixable.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So it's not losing signal or anything like that. Huh. I don't know. What is that, an SMA connector?
Yes,
I wonder if it's just loose and it's just a pigtail on the inside. So it would be, you know, if it were loose a little bit, there would be nothing to, hold it. I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's big enough to have a pigtail, but, well, if you're not comfortable with it, you know, let me know. We've got all the tools to, doctor something like that. That seems easy enough.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Maybe in the next couple weeks, I'll swing by on a Friday and drop it off to you, because, it's a cool little radio, a little 3-watt radio. I think about 20 years old, I think. And it runs on AA batteries, so I definitely want it, and I want it to be functioning.
just want to be careful with it at this point.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was in the pile, and I looked it up afterwards, and that is a cool little radio. Is it 3 watts? I thought it was like 300 milliwatts or something really low. You know, and I thought, man, that would make a perfect node radio, you know, a little radio to use with your node. Almost like it was designed for that, but, all right, well, anyhow, yeah, well, we'll take a peek at it. I'm sure if it's, it's got to be something simple, and we got the micro tools and appropriate optical devices to get in there and take a look at it. Anywho, yeah, I took a look at those strips are probably not going to work for us. Two of them are three-phase, so those are definitely out. The ones that have yellow, red, and blue marked outlets, those are three-phase, so those are not going to work. And then the ones that are just, I think, yellow and red or blue and red, I'm not sure what two colors are the split-phase ones. And, you know, those ones would be okay if you had 220, but we don't have 220 at any of our sites. The only place we could maybe use one would be at our prime site, where the, you know, Mount Clemens. You know, and then we'd have to have an electrician come out and wire us a 220, you know, 220 outlet, because we don't have one. So, yeah, those things are nice, but they're there for, like, some serious, like, server rooms, something like that.
What you're looking for is just a standard 110?
Yeah, I didn't even know something like that existed, what you dropped off, you know, and, you know, what we were, I mean, it makes sense now, it's obvious, but it wasn't on my radar, of, you know, that was a possibility. Yeah, the ones we got are, they're not even rack mount, they're, I don't know, they're probably, you know, a foot, you know, maybe 15 inches, but they're not 19. You know, I know they fit in between rails pretty good. And they're you know, probably about, you know, 8-10 inches, you know, deep. And they're pretty flat, you know, and then they lay on top of something, and they've got, you know, 6-8 outlets on top that are all switchable and a little LCD window, and they plug into 110. So those are the ones that we deploy at all the sites, you know, something more like that. You know, I'm sure a rack mount one unit, you know, or two unit, you know, would be fine too. But the big thing is it's got to be 110, and, you know, that's all we really have, especially at the remote sites, is where there's no chance I could get an electrician in to wire and wire me up 220.
All right, no problem. I'll keep an eye out for 110, and I'll swing by maybe Friday and pick those up, and or maybe even before that, pick those up and drop off that little HT, see if we can do anything with it.
All right, yeah, and if I'm out and about, you know, and it works out, I can throw them in the car here too. So we'll work it out one way or the other. But yeah, those certainly are sweet, though. I mean, man, that's just, I wish I could use one. I'm gonna try to see if I can get an electrician to give me a 220 plug at my main site. You know, maybe use one at the prime site. But as far as the remote sites go, I can't think of anyone. So, well, maybe one. We'll have to see.
Cool. Yeah, I'll keep an eye out, and hopefully we can find something that'll work, even if you figure something out in the meantime, and get it covered. I'll try to get you something so you have a backlog of them.
Okay, yeah, no big deal. My stuff's all working. It's Central Michigan, their unit, so I don't know if they have any spares. So I think they know about it. I'm pretty sure Paul told them. So, but whatever, enough on all that. Oh, man. So this week, I don't know, I got some out-of-town work. I got, you know, day out of town, not long out of town. Could be in Lansing and some other stuff. And going to be testing T-Mobile all week, maybe making a switch. I don't know
know when I'm going to finally pull the trigger, but I'm just about on the verge of pulling the trigger on that.
What kind of service do you have now?
Right now with Xfinity, which is on the Verizon network, and they're raising my price significantly. And I went and I talked to them the other day, and they can't even get me close. It's just like, you know, they give me this gigabit internet service for like $55 a month. And they said, oh, it's because, you know, if you got phones with us, you get the internet service. Well, it turned out that was just a promotional deal, and, you know, and they jacked it to, like, $150 from $50. I'm like, whoa, timeout. You know, and I still am not clear on how the hell they went from that to one to the other. You know, especially when they're offering the service for $90. So, you know, so now I got to decide, you know, but they're going to raise that, and then they're going to raise the other, and then I need new phones, and they're not giving me any break on that, so time to move. And T-Mobile seems to be the winner. So I'm leery. I've got both T-Mobile and Verizon on my phone right now, and I can compare the SIMs, you know, wherever I go. And I'm going to be watching it very closely while I'm out of town and traveling and all that stuff, see if I can stomach it.
I would also recommend that you take a ride down to see the grandkids and test it out down by me, because cell service is notoriously terrible in Grosse Pointe.
Yeah, that's the plan. Sometime, you know, I'm gonna at least test it all this week, and I plan on getting down there, stomping around a little bit, getting inside some of the haunts down there that I normally go to, and see if I can, you know, see if T-Mobile works for me down there. Then I got some other regular places I need to go to, and, you know, family-wise, up near New Baltimore. So I'm going to go check those as well. And, you know, and then, of course, you know, some critical, or not critical, but some work locations that I find myself at often. So I'm going to try all those and see and I've still got the Xfinity, so I can switch, you know, I can look right there on the spot and see if, you know, one's working but the other isn't. The only one, you know, I don't have my band check, and I really don't care because I have no interest in AT&T. So, we'll see. Do you have any experience with T-Mobile down your way? Does it, is it in your experience, does it work?
I do not. I have Verizon, my wife has AT&T, and we struggle with both.
Are they both good, or problems, or what?
Interestingly, the little guy
guy kind of like gets a leapfrog by being ahead of the game, not by choice, but just kind of way it worked out. But we'll see if that actually manifests in legitimately better, you know, or reasonable service. They're all gonna, you know, they're all gonna have their places. They can't literally have a tower everywhere. So.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think I saw a quick article the other day that maybe it was T-Mobile is the first one that's picking up Starlink. So once you get involved in that, then the game really changes.
Well, I don't know enough about Starlink to comment. I think it's a satellite phone service, if I'm not mistaken, or satellite internet or something. You'll have to fill me in, you know, and then, you know, for me to have a better understanding of how that would affect T-Mobile service as a whole.
So, just based on, like, the tower theory, you have an internet service, but that's just, like anything else, it can carry voice, and their satellite network is gigantic now. They basically have the whole world covered, and if they can do that, then they can give you cell service basically anywhere.
Yeah, so there's, you know, there's been cellular, or there's been, you know, satellite-based phone services for a number of years now, but they were always prohibitively expensive, so, you know, have we gotten to a point now where those are actually reasonably priced, not at the average Joe? And so that's what would puzzle me.
The radio network, which is probably what you looked at in the past, which is very comprehensive, is still like $150 a month for, you know, less than 100 minutes a month. They're truly just emergency devices. But I don't think they own the satellite system or the entire network where Elon does, and he's already created a consumer-based product with it, so I would imagine if they added voice to that, it would only create more demand and ability to lower the cost. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, that does sound interesting, so. But I wouldn't trust that guy as far as you could throw him. He'd probably build a network or something like that and then get us all switched to it and then get in bed with the Chinese and say that, hey, I can throw a switch and poke their eye out for $1 billion. But that's just my opinion.
Unfortunately, I think we run that risk with everyone, but I can't say that you're wrong, that's for sure.
Yeah, so... I'd want something terrestrial. Well, that's the biggest reason why, public safety does not now, nor will it any time in the foreseeable future transition any kind of a provider like that, you know, even a cellular, you know, because, you know, a lot of, you get AT&T FirstNet. When they first came on the game, they say now they know better, but they, you know, we're not looking to replace radio, we're looking to supplement, you know, and now, you know, and it makes a lot of sense in a supplemental role, you know, for maybe administration or, you know, special details, things like that. It's an excellent supplement to real radio, but it's never going to replace real radio. And they're correctly not trying to claim that anymore, but... Yep, just pay to maintain your own infrastructure for things that are important. I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah, and you're pretty lucky that you're in a position that you can own your own infrastructure in some capacity.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not the only ones. Everybody, you know, pretty much has a, it's one place where government does it better. You don't want to bring private industry in the first responder communications. But, so I think it serves the need. We've never missed a beat. be hardened and to survive, you know, any foreseeable problem. You know, now, you know, we have our own pains that we try to mitigate, and that's, you know, when we need parts and equipment and stuff like that, you know, we're beholden, you know, so to someone. You know, if all of our equipment was, now we don't, we deal with Motorola, there's a reason for that, but if all of our stuff was, you know, through QI or whoever it was, all of our infrastructure, well then we'd just have a different stick. Or I should say, it'd be the other eye they could poke out. But luckily, you know, so far we don't have that. But still, there's still some of that, because even the Motorola stuff, you know, a lot of the, you know, we're not producing a lot of the electronics here, so it's not like they're, come on, squirrel, damn it. I mean, squirrel dancing in front of my car, it's like you want to see your man over. But anyhow, so, you know, there's always some vulnerability, you know, and you got to try to mitigate it best you can.
Yep, and that's the eternal struggle, isn't it? Just trying to mitigate the potential issues you could have.
Oh, yeah. No question. All right, well, I'm here. I'm going to get inside and start my day, start my week. Man, it looks like they're going to park all the transport vehicles over here. Goody, goody, we're going to lose half our parking lot. All right, you enjoy. After yours, W8FU.
All right, I'm sure we'll talk to you later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Have a great day, and we will talk to you soon. K8RUH.
I don't know if you guys can hear me because I'm here. Just wondering if somebody could remind me what the PTC for is. I'm trying to put it on my
mind. Well, you're about halfway making it in. I know you need a frequency for something, but I didn't catch what you need the frequency for. You keyed up and we're talking, but it was completely unreadable. You're just too far out. Sorry, I couldn't get that from you. KE8BSI.
Good morning, this is ADHJL. Hopefully I'm getting into the return repeater this time. Maybe you guys can hear me a little better. ADHJL.
All right, we got you now. Very good. What were you looking for? If I have it, I can provide it, but I don't know if I have it.
I was looking for the Richmond repeater. I was trying to get into the Mount Clemens one, but I'm literally at 26 mile and I-94, so I knew there was very little chance. But I finally found the Richmond repeater. I don't know why that's so hard, but I finally found it.
All right. Well, 26-94, you would think you'd get into Mount Clemens, but yeah, you're doing much better on this one. So, all right, very good. Glad you found it. KE8BSI.
Sounds good. I need to get off my lazy butt and put the stupid frequencies into my radio. I don't have them in my radio. I have to just keep in my head and tune them in, which is stupid. So one of these days I'll get off my lazy butt. But thank you for your help. I really appreciate it. Hope you're having a good morning. ADHJL, I will be monitoring on my way out to Port Huron.
All right. Very good. Yeah, Richmond, it took a while for me to get in my radio, too. I just kind of remembered it, because I'm not in that area very often, but then I finally added it, so there you go. All right, take care, KE8BSI.
Does anybody else hate it when both local NPR stations are doing their pledge drive at the same time? I know I do. Anyway, ADHJL. Good morning, this is Tim, ADHJL. I'm out here in Marysville, and I'm just getting into the Richmond repeater, and I'm just wondering if I can get into the Richmond repeater from here. If anybody can hear me and let me know if I'm getting in, that'd be great. Again, Tim, ADHJL.
Did anybody answer you back about the Richmond repeater?
Well, I just put on a call seeing if I could actually get in, if you can actually hear me and understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, affirmative, you're in. I'm in New Baltimore. I'm also on the same repeater. So, yeah, you're in, NAKPP.
Well, that's nice to know. I head out support here on not infrequently, and it's nice to know that I've got a repeater that'll at least get me out to here. I'm almost there, so that's nice to know. I appreciate the feedback.
No, you're doing pretty good. You must have a good radio and antenna set up because you're doing pretty good. Very little snow, very, very, very good signal.
Take it. I'm on high power, which I think is 25 watts on this guy, and I've got a 5/8 wave J-pole on the outside of the car, so it's a decent antenna. It does get me pretty far.
If you don't mind, I mean, you don't have to hang around for me, but I'll probably throw a similar call out like this when I get to Port Huron. I may be able to get all the way from there. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, there's always a lot of people listening. Just throw your call out a couple, three times. Somebody will come back to you.
Good. I appreciate it. ADHF.
And 8KPP. Have a good day.
November 8, Hotel Golf. November 8, Hotel Golf, mobile.
Good morning, I'll try one more time. This is Tim. From north of I-69. Just wondering if anybody can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're making it in. It's pretty noisy, but you're making it, and you're legible. KZAZ.
Yeah, I walk north edge of how far I can get in. Appreciate your report. ATH.
WAVAV.
WAVAV, 8866, good morning.
Yeah, you're a little bit noisy. Didn't heard somebody come back, didn't get your call. Mason, huh? How you doing? Yeah, I'm just actually over here in Rochester Hills right now, so I'm kind of surprised I'm getting into 2.6 so good. But where are you at?
I'm at 96 and 75.
You say 96 and 75? Just not quite in there. It's not quite.
Yeah, I'm clear over in Novi. So I'm barely getting in. I can hear it good, though.
Okay, Novi. I gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah, I'm actually on the stubby antenna. I'm on the short stubby antenna right now. It's not even I don't even have my good antenna, but yeah. Over here, Rochester Road and like Kingston.
Yeah, I'm getting the repeater full scale here, but must be not quite enough for me to get in that well. But I'm heading to Warren, so I'm sure it'll get better as I make my way east.
Yeah, that transmission was a lot better. Yeah, I'm heading towards Warren too. I had a dentist appointment out here, so. I'm heading to Warren, too. Yeah, so I'm like 25 mile in John R. right now. You know where that's at. Not quite into Utica yet.
Yeah, mine says I'm 29 miles out. And, I was actually getting this repeater in Lansing. propagation's just been crazy on 400 megahertz in the morning lately.
Well, I was monitoring the GMRS, and I was picking up to either Bay City or Mayville on GMRS. I'm not sure which one. I'm thinking it was Mayville. I don't know. It was 550. 462, 550. Nice. I know they switched them around, but it's either Bay City or Mayville. That's like 75, 80 miles from here.
Yeah, it's been wild. We've been getting, in the Mason repeater, we've been getting check-ins from, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and, you know, Ohio. I was hearing like five repeaters drop every time somebody came in there yesterday.
I just passed up my street. I just realized I had to turn a dequender and I passed it. Oops, got to turn around. no biggie.
Yep, I'm just off to do an easy preventative maintenance on some air conditioning stuff, and probably the last air conditioning one for the year, hopefully. Got to make it through another hot week again and hopefully be back to some of that 70-degree fall weather soon.
Yeah, or even that 60-degree weather we had in July. That was weird. Yeah, a couple of years ago I was at Traverse City, it was like 95 degrees on 4th of July, and this year it was 60. It was weird. That was a weird... people were still swimming, though, but 60 degrees wasn't that good for boating and jet skiing.
Yeah, it seems like usually this, you know, most people are closing up their swimming pools and everything by this time of year, but then still seeing, you know, friends of ours that are, come on out, pool's still open, another 2 weeks. And, I guess the kids get to enjoy it a little bit longer. They don't like getting cooped up inside all winter. I guess neither does my wife, but I'm ready for it to be over, because I got to be out working in it all the time.
Yeah, I remember back in 2002, the second week in September, I went up north at the Indian River and Mullet Lake, another couple, what's the other one? Anyhow, it was 95 degrees. It was like this time of year. It was 95. It was hotter here than it was in Florida. Weird.
Yeah, I got a buddy in Tampa, and we go there usually for spring break. And, we're always comparing when it does get hot and humid here, and it's hotter than down there somehow. And sometimes we go down there for spring break, and there'll be a hot spell here that's, it's like basically the same temperature. Drove all that way to be sitting in a 71 degree spring break instead of 80 we were hoping for.
WADAP. Yep. It's supposed to be in the upper, maybe not 80 up north. I'm going up north this weekend. It's not going to be 80, but it's going to be close to it. So it'll be nice. I like upper 70s. That's a good temperature. And, a couple weeks ago, I was about 75 up there, and I rented a Polaris slingshot for 2 days and went all over northern Michigan. Man, that was nice. I'd like to do that one more time if we have another weekend where it's at least in the upper 60s, you know, when the leaves start changing. I'd like to doing a fall color tour one more time.
KAJS. Yeah, I haven't been up north since I can't remember, the weekend before. I think 3 weeks ago. And I was surprised. I was in Traverse City, and leaves are already changing there. They probably, like, some of them trees probably had 20% leaves are changing, so I don't know what they're looking like now. You've been up there, so you probably know, but I was surprised. It looked like they were kind of getting shocked into changing early.
Yeah, when we were up there, I'd say they were 15-20%, you know, changing. But, yeah, I'm going to be curious what it's going to be like this weekend up there. Very good. So what rig are you running, that ICOM?
Yeah, I got it, man. 2007. I'm running the key. I've been sitting in a box for years, and I forgot all about it, kind of. Because I have an Anytone 578 in my house. It does DMR and everything, but it doesn't, this thing, you know, got some 50 watts VHF, 50 watts UHF. That 50 watts is nice on DMR. And, banks and everything that I was kind of looking for, it just doesn't have any, you know, any other bells and whistles like APRS or any other stuff like that. I'm probably not really using it in my work truck anyway, so threw it in here and it's working good.
Yep, I just got the little 20 watt Anytone 779 in the car. Everything works great. Small, has great audio receive. It's got, you know, great display on it. And for all the local stuff, 20 watts is plenty.
Yeah, I did have an issue with the volume knob on this was broken, that potentiometer or whatever, and as soon as I powered the thing on, you know, it would just be at full volume, which is annoying. I'd have to, at least the mic has an up and down volume button on it as well, so you have to turn it on, hurry up, start turning the volume down. I finally found some parts place that could get me that knob, too. I found the ICOM part number off some old service manual I dug up online. And finally showed up, got that soldered in there on the base there, and so it works like brand new again. And the only problem with, like, you know, discontinued radios is luckily I already had the separation kit for it. Because, you know, you can't get those anymore. You can't find even a used one of these radios for sale that includes it. So it makes it nice, but it, like, if anything ever breaks down the road, it's hard to find stuff for them.
Well, yep, yeah, do like everybody else does. Buy new radio every week. Radio of the Week Club, like, if you ever, well, you know. You see the post on Telegram. Somebody's always getting a new radio. Usually Captain Don. Usually let him buy it first, try it out.
Yeah, I'll have to see what happens. I'm going to resist any radio buys until the, well, what do we got, another month, 2 months until Black Friday stuff starts happening, Christmas sales, and we'll see if there's any killer deals on a FTM 500 or that new portable radio they got coming out. I don't know. I've been hauling my 7300 out in the field for POTA. It's fine as long as you're just parking your truck close by and all that, but if you want to sneak in somewhere deeper or climb up hills, or it'd be nice to have something a little smaller, like a 705 you know, some kind of smaller mobile radio that would still do 100 watts, I'd be happy with. So that's the only other thing I might be looking for in the near future.
Yeah, they've had pretty good luck with those Zygu G90s, so 20 watts. I mean, conditions are good, you know, shouldn't have a problem with 20 watts. But, I know everyone likes the AC710. I don't know how much smaller that is than the 7300, probably about the same size.
Yeah, they look about the same size. I mean, any of them YouTubers are, you know, they're taking them that 891 out, which is a 100-watt mobile. And, I guess the guy uses whatever, that's cheaper. And I went out Saturday night, and, another guy in our group came, and he had the Geigu. He only had it on 20 watts, so we both had vertical antennas set up, same site. He was playing on 20, and I was on 40, and the difference was he got like 16 contacts in the hour, and I got 77 with 100 watts.
Yep, yep. Be surprised, though, if the conditions are good. The conditions are good. I mean, if you were at 100 watts, if you went down to like 15 or 20, I'm sure they'd still hear you. But getting through the pile-up, though, that's the thing. Initially getting through that pile-up.
Yeah, I was sitting there one day at home trying to break into one, and I unkeyed the mic, and I heard the loudest Captain Don I ever heard busting through there, putting the pedal down on us. Like, wow, surprised I was hearing you that well. You know, just being Detroit to Lansing, and probably cranked up some juice.
Yeah, speak of the devil, Captain Don just keyed up on you. I don't know if he hears you, even hears you talking.
No, it was his doppelganger.
Yeah,
Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Good morning, everyone. I didn't think Eric would want to talk about POTA and HF stuff.
He wasn't talking about me. He was talking about it. Now, this is, you know, going along with the conversation. But, yeah, one of these years I'll have enough time to do that. Too busy right now. Yet other things prioritizing. Everybody has to make time for the things they need to do. And that's not on the high priority list. But it will be.
Yeah, I don't really have time for it either. But once you get out there and do a few of them, then you kind of... This is like any other hobby. You get a little kind of bit by the bug and you want to go do a few more. And I'm sure it'll wear off for a bit. So you get antsy and bored again or whatever. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's how it goes usually. Doing my little experiment here. I'm listening to the Warren repeater, but I've got my node, using my node to go into the system. It's kind of odd, but it works. And, I haven't done any POTA this year. I mean, I did, like, when we had the eclipse and all that. I think that was the last time I went out. But other than that, I would just, go to the parks when, like, Greg or Dave were doing it and would let them play radio, and I would just kind of sit and chat with them. Go ahead, Eric.
Your WAEAP. Well, you know my situation. I can't really put up any decent antennas where I'm at. But I do have that mobile antenna mount. I got a N-Fed half wave, and I have that weird trailer hitch mount thing that I made. So I need a 20 meter and a 40 meter hamstick, and then I need a radio. So one of these years. But I'm starting to build up the equipment. I almost bought a 710 when they were on sale. If they go on sale again for a really cheap deal, I'll probably get one. But they're not that expensive right now. But if they go down another $100 or so, that might tip the balance.
Yeah, I'm still, well, got a wire up now, but I've been just using my gutters at home. And I've been not wanting to put a tripod on my roof or anything. Because I've been needing a new roof, but I didn't want to I'll put this all up and then take it down again and put it up again. So finally got an insurance claim that's paying for the roof, so I'm hopefully getting that done here in the next few weeks. Then I can look into more and playing around with antennas and mounting solutions, I guess. Over to Dave with JDS.
Very good. Well, I'm going to bow out. I just wanted to say hello and heckle Eric there a little bit. I need to get back to, I'm actually going to go to sleep for a little bit. I'm going to try to start my day in the middle of the day. I caught the cold that my kids got. You know, first my youngest got it, and then my oldest got it, and now I got it. So I'm hoping by midday the medicine will kick in, and I'll just be able to work. But right now, I'm going to rest. So I will say 73 to both of you. Hand it over to Eric. I'll be listening, though. KFAS.
Roger. Hope you feel better. Yeah, Gary's been under the weather, too. But, yep, that's the best thing to do is just lay down and get your rest. But, don't worry, I can help. I'll heckle you back at the dentist 6 months from now, once you've forgotten all about it. Anywho, WEAP, and I'm deep into Sterling Heights now. Where are you at there, Jason?
1273, Dave, and I am 696. I was going underneath a bunch of overpasses. Coming up on, Woodward Avenue exit, Coolidge Highway, 11 Mile Road area, I guess.
Roger, if I had my bigger antenna on the car, I would say we can go simplex. I'm at like 18 Mile and Mound Road. I'm not that far from you. Probably in about 5 minutes. We'll definitely be in simplex range.
Yeah, it says I'm about 10 miles out from my destination, so Hoover Road exit in 8 miles. So far, the backups haven't been too bad. I mean, still, I'm waiting like 20 minutes in traffic the whole ride here, but that's just typical. Kind of used to it. I haven't experienced it without it, except for like, during the shutdowns in 2020, I guess. That was the only time I could drive all the way here with barely anyone on the road. It was just, kind of felt like I was in a movie.
Roger, did you say your final destination is 8 Mile and Hoover?
Well, my exit to get off of is Hoover from here, and then that's 7 miles. My destination is 9 miles, so I'm somewhere. I just know the address on Stevens Drive. And, yeah.
Not that far from where I work. I work at 12 in Van Dyke, so it's not that far from where I work. That's where I'm headed. They get done with Mound Road, like 6 months ago, and then every week they close lanes off and do random work here and there. I don't know what they're doing. They have like one lane closed off up here, and there's like absolutely no work, no work going on, and I don't know what they're doing, but it causes a lot of headaches. Some people, wait till the last minute and merge in and bottleneck and all that, so.
All right, well, I'm probably going to let you go. I already had to deny somebody trying to call me. See, they left me a voicemail, so I probably need to figure out. You never know with work. Sometimes you think you're heading to your destination and they're trying to call you and reroute you. Don't go there yet. We got an emergency over here or something like that. So I'll say 73s for now. Maybe I'll hear you out here on your ride home. And catch you later any rate. KAJDS.
Joe. Yeah, I just checked on the input. I heard you fine. Okay, have a good day. Talk to you later on, maybe. WATAP.
On the road, let's see how we're doing now. Again, Alpha Delta 8 Juliet Lima. My name is Tim. Thank you very much to the gentleman who's given me a couple signal reports. I appreciate it. If somebody could give me a brief signal report, I'd be grateful. Thank you. AD8JL.
AD8JL, you're making the repeater now 100%. This is K8JDS. And here's Jason.
Your patience very much on that and the signal reports. Thank you. It's crazy how much of a difference it makes. This morning when I was on my way out, it was probably 8 miles farther north that I was able to get into the repeater. Maybe because it's a little warmer sun's out, I don't know. But thanks for the signal reports. I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, in the morning you're definitely dealing with some propagation enhancement. And I was getting into the repeater 70 miles away I was hearing the repeater 70 miles away in Lansing this morning, so those are the fun times we get with this foggy, cold morning right now with UHF. So, all right, glad it's working for you, and have a good one. K8JDS.
Oh, thanks for letting me know that. So now that I know those were unusual conditions. That's actually what I was checking on the way home, just to kind of verify that. Thank you very much. Hope you have a good day as well. 88JL, I'll be monitoring.
This is KD4UHY, located here in northern Alabama. EchoLink, virtual reality big screen. We're listening. Anyone copy this station?
Ay.
W8FU.
KE8VSI, what's up?
What up, Greggy Poo? Sounding glodious today. Nice strong signal. Just on my way home. I gotta get home in time to get on a meeting, which will coast through my day. And then some every Monday. It goes much later than I work, but oh well.
Well, that's why you go home and do it, and I don't blame you. Another glorious day of weather, and followed by more glorious days of weather, and preceded by good weather. We're just having a good run here. So did a little patio time earlier, and now I'm at my desk catching up, and that's about all I got going on here.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, the weather is nice. I've got a big project I got to start probably Thursday. I got pretty busy. I got, well, tomorrow is small, but then I got Lansing on Wednesday, and then not sure if I'm going to take any time off or not, but I got a Thursday and Friday. I got to start a big project at the house, and I'm probably going to have to somewhere in the next couple of weeks take some time off. I got to demolish a structure. I got to get a dumpster, all sorts of stuff. So, fun. And the weather's good for it, so keep my fingers crossed it stays good.
All right, roger that. Yeah, now is definitely weather-wise the time to do it, so very good. Had a nuclear stress test this morning for my heart and artery issues, and I thought I was going to have to do the treadmill bit, but they're not doing that for me anymore. There's some kind of injection they give you that kind of replicates stressing your cardiovascular system, so I was happy about that. No results yet. I'm sure it's all fine, but I think I get it every 3 years.
Yeah, I think they call that the chemical stress test. My wife had that. She absolutely just, it was horrible. She was so pissed off. She'll never do that again. But then she don't got to do a whole lot to get her heart rate and all that up. All she got to do is walk a little bit. You know. But she did not like the chemical stress test at all. I've never had, so I don't know what it's like.
Well, I'm curious what she didn't like. I could tell you I was relieved when I found out I didn't have to get on the treadmill, because they work you up to a certain heart rate, and then they want to maintain that for a certain amount of time, and I'm usually just dying by the end of it, because I'm out of shape. That's a given, but I still not something I look forward to. And then I find out today they were doing it this way. I'm like, okay. And they just didn't jack you with a couple little things, and they asked you to be vocal about how you're feeling, whether it be shortness of breath or dizzy or anything. And she said, everybody's different. I didn't have any shortness of breath. I got a little lightheaded for maybe a minute, and I might have felt flushed in the face for about a half a minute. And then in 5 minutes, the whole thing was over with, and then you're done. You just got to wait to scan your heart again. So I don't know, unless she got short of breath to a point where it was extremely uncomfortable, I don't know what you wouldn't like about it. It sure beats the treadmill.
I'll have to ask her. I think it was the shortness of breath thing, but you know, she doesn't generally vocalize really well. If I ask her, you know, she'll just say, oh, it was just horrible. Wow, and exactly how so? Oh, it was just terrible. I felt, you know, and then you know, it's like, you felt, and I'll try to find out what it was, but I think I remember hearing shortness of breath. I don't know. But she absolutely hated it and said she will never do that again, ever, period, end of story. She was so upset with it. And, yeah, so, Paul, I'm glad it worked out for you. If I ever have to do it, I'll do it that way. Although I enjoy the treadmill, so. And, you know, the thing that puzzles me, though, is kind of switching gears here, but maximum heart rate, there's a pretty
pretty specific formula they use for that, you know, and it's, there's a certain amount, and then you take your age into consideration. It goes down as you age, and I routinely run way beyond what I'm supposed to do for my age, my maximum heart rate. And I asked the doctor about it. Is that a problem? He goes, no. He goes, it's your maximum heart rate. I go, well, how do I know how much too much? He goes, it's your maximum heart rate. There's no such thing as too much. It's whatever it will do. So, you know, I can get mine up to like 180, which is, at my age, is not supposed to be even remotely possible. But yet I can easily do that. So I don't know. But I don't mind it. I can. I just get up there pretty quick, though. I don't got to do much to get up there.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm familiar with the formulas for that. They got one for resting heart rate, fat burn heart rate, and maximum heart rate based on your age. And yeah, the doc's right though. There's no maximum. What that's telling you is you have a higher than average cardiovascular system. So that's good. So throughout the years, you've maintained some sort of fitness as far as that goes. So very good. Yeah, and you wouldn't want to do the chemical one then. Yeah, if I didn't seriously run out of breath on the treadmill, I would gladly do it. But no, it feels like they're just whipping you, going, keep going, keep going, keep going, while I'm just dying. So that was the part I didn't like about it. And as far as your wife, I was sitting there not really knowing what to expect, but they did say possible shortness of breath. So then I'm kind of apprehensive, and I could see where that would be bothersome, because you could be just sitting on a bench there feeling like you can't breathe. That, and there's no reason for it. You didn't earn it. You know what I mean? That I could see would be extremely uncomfortable and possibly just freak you out. So that was more than likely what happened to her, but so I'm glad it didn't happen to me, and I think I could tolerate that somewhat. But I'm sure if it was more than somewhat, I would be freaked out.
Yeah, well, then I guess there's different levels of shortness of breath. You know, there's shortness of breath, and then there's, you know, I can't breathe. And, you know, I think hers was borderline, I can't breathe, you know, or at least that's the feeling she got. You know, she didn't feel, quote-unquote, short of breath. She felt like she couldn't breathe. So that would be scary, yeah, especially when you're not doing anything. So how do I fix it? You can't, you know. So that would probably send you even into a panic. Plus, she has anxiety and some other stuff, so it could have compounded it. And I don't know. It might have been a combination of things, but I'm pretty sure it was breathing related, you know. So, but you know, I would like to say I could probably endure it too. You know, I would think. I don't know how I'd react to not being able to breathe. That doesn't seem like it would be a lot of fun. But that would suck.
Yeah, it could be. It's almost like drowning at that point. It's not a good way to feel. But then you have to go with the faith of they're saying it's normal and that it will be short-lived. The thing is, you're going, okay, how long is short-lived? And then it was funny because then a couple minutes later they shot another thing into me and said, this is the one that makes you feel better, like the antidote. And she actually used that word. And I'm like, okay. But by that time I felt fine for the little bit of I wouldn't even say discomfort, just change that I did feel, which wasn't much at all. So I'm thinking if you did spaz out like that, they could give you that right away, although they want to make sure that they do stress you so the second set of pictures comes out right.
Yeah, who knows? So, well, hopefully you got a clean bill of health out of the deal. Have you had any work at all or any issues that at this point? Yeah, Andrea was, she got the bad gene lottery when it came to cardiovascular. You know, her dad had a heart attack as a very young man and had heart problems his whole life, and her brother as well, and she is not dodging the bullet. She's she was 50 when she had to go in for what was 50? 50 was, I think, she had a stent and an angio, and then she had to have her carotid done and some other stuff, and, you know, this is all in her 50s, you know, some years ago. So she has not pulled the genetic lottery for cardiovascular.
Yeah, no, definitely had issues. I'm pretty much in the same boat as her. My mother and her father both died young from heart attacks. And at 50, I had a double bypass. So, and that thank goodness, I mean, that I survived. Well, I didn't have a heart attack, but I got, what do they call that, angina pain. And my primary care doctor was always keeping an eye on it, going, if you ever get this pain while you're at rest, because I would get it all the time if I was mowing the lawn or shoveling snow. But he said, if you ever get it at rest, call 911. So that's what I did. I was just one morning, an average morning, and all of a sudden there it was. I'm like, okay, called 911, and an hour later I was getting operated on. So there you have it. So since then, that was in 2014. So since then, you know, I get the regular checkups and do the rigmarole and stay on the medications and all that.
Yeah, well, you got to keep on top of it, that's for sure. It's nothing to monkey with. And if that's your genetics, then you just got to be on top of that. I've been pretty lucky in that regard, knock on wood. I lost the genetic lottery in the diabetes end of things. It ran on my mother's side, and I got it. And I've been controlling it for the most part, but this last little loss of control has been a little harder to get under check, but I've kind of got it back in check now. I really just got to get, it's funny because your ailments are significantly different than my ailments. You know, mine is sugar, diabetes related. Yours is, heart related and all that stuff. But isn't it funny that the thing that would pretty much take care of me is the same thing it would take care of you? And it's just, diet, exercise, right? It could probably make both of us, not have to worry about any of this. Oh, man.
Oh, for sure. That is no doubt. I'm sure I'm borderline diabetic at this point right now, and I do have to do something about it. I got to lose some weight and eat better and exercise for sure. But that's been, the weight's only been a few years. COVID did me in. I was never overweight until COVID. Unbelievable how much weight I gained and kept on. So now I got to make an effort to get rid of that, get back to where I was. So, but yeah, you're right, the diet and exercise. And then contributing to my genetic heart problems was I had a good decade plus of some pretty hard living, so that didn't help me either. That's out of my system, thank goodness.
A decade of what? I didn't get that.
Hard living, just going to bars and drinking and smoking and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. You weren't being specific, but I get it, yeah. Yeah, I never was a big drinker. I mean, I drink whenever I want, which is not as often as, my drinking is not a problem, never has been. You could argue that when I was a young man, my biker days, yeah, drinking a case of beer on a Sunday afternoon was probably a little bit excessive. It wasn't every Sunday, it was only on nice warm days when we were out in the, out at a campground or something like that. So, but I've had some moments, but I never had anything regular. And, most of the hard drugs were all, I was well out of my system, in my 20s. So, I've been okay. My thing's just been gluttony, just eating too much of the wrong things. And self-control, portion size, and lack of exercise. After my kids were born, I was far less active than before, and which is weird, ironically. It's just different kind of activity, and then when they got older and we stopped doing things together, then even more so, that it got sedentary. And then I went from a technician to a kind of a middle management, and a lot more sitting. So, yeah, it's for me diet and exercise all the way, and that's all you can do is just be cognizant of it and go from there. I was thinking about this. I don't know how today I ended up, hold on a second. I ended up in this questionnaire thing where, you know, clearly I was getting rooked, you know, by some company that wants to sell me something. But I've heard of it before. It's called Noom, N-O-O-M, and it's some sort of diet program, and I don't know if they serve prefab meals or just a diet plan or something like that, but they intrigued me, their little questionnaire thing. So I went through it all even. And so I've heard of them. I know they're big, so I went ahead and I gave them my email address. So I don't know what that's all about, but... You know, they're telling me that, you know, maybe if I had something external, you know, that makes sense to me, I could get back on the bandwagon. That's the biggest thing. I'll tell you what, man, biking, yeah, I didn't even start biking and running hard until I was in my late 50s, early 60s, and late 50s, and I'll tell you what, I never felt better. Hey, you know, a day like today, man. Buying out for a bike ride or a run, what the hell's wrong with me? I just can't get back into that mindset.
Yeah, I hear you. I'd like to get to that mindset. Did all that to excess when I was way younger. I rode my bike everywhere, and I was on roller skates when I worked at the rink for like 80 hours a week. So definitely had good cardio throughout my younger years, but then it just kind of fell off after that, and I never got back to it. As far as Noom, I've seen their ads, and I think it's a whole program. I'm not sure about the meals and whatnot, but I know there's a lot of psychological things, and it's supposed to be pretty good. But in the end, the diet that works for you is the one that you stick with, so it doesn't matter what diet. So, hey, try it out. If it works for you, it seems to work for many. That would be awesome. I'm curious about what it all really is, though, so if you get more information, let me know.
Yeah, it had me sidetracked for a little bit earlier today, and then my phone, and I was almost to the end of it, and I got sidetracked, and then I ended up closing down the window I was working in, and I don't remember, I checked my browser history, I checked in my email, I checked everywhere, and I was like, where in the hell was this thing I was doing? It must have been somehow in a browser or something like that. So I can't get back to where I was, but I did give them my email address and phone number. And so I'm guessing now, you know, they got one on the hook, right? They'll be in touch with me, but I got to get back to where I was and find out, because I'm curious, what is it? If it's just, you know, positive thinking and, you know, They seem to be going towards, you know, you should have somebody to pair up with. We'll pair you up with somebody to hold each other accountable. That's a big deal. I know that if you got two people both trying to work toward a health goal, you know, it's like, come on, let's go. You know, I don't feel like saying, no, come on, man, we got to go. You know, it's like it helps, you know, until the person gets annoying. But you know, having somebody, you know, that you're you know, giving you some healthy, you know, not competition, but encouragement, and, you know, and working toward the same goal, that's very beneficial. I didn't have that when I did it the first time, when I got down to really my good fighting weight. And I'm not that far off of it. You know, I just really got to get back into it. And it was so enjoyable. I'll tell you what, the bike riding I was doing, you know, it was just one of the most enjoyable things I've done. It was very zen-like for me. I put on my open-ear headphones, of course, because you got to be able to hear. And I put on, you know, some chill music, some down-tempo kind of, you know, not like aggressive, you know, rock or anything like that. Just kind of easier music, you know, something that had some rhythm to it, you know, sort of pace. And, man, I could just get lost in that, kind of zen-like. And I do miss that. Real early morning, crack of dawn, go out and get 20, 25, 30 miles in on the bike. 3 mile run is about the best I could ever do, 5K. And I really did enjoy that, and I still want to officially run a 5K. And if I could, it's a bucket list thing for me to be run a 5K in under 30 minutes or less. And I can do that. I've done it multiple times on my own. I know I could do it, you know, in an event. I got to get back, and I'm 30 pounds and a lot of miles away from being ready to try that, but I would really like to get that bucket list done before I drop.
Yeah, that shouldn't be too tough. I've actually done a couple of 5Ks in the last decade. I don't know what a good time is. You said 30 minutes or less. Mine was definitely not a good time, but I did them. It was, you know, some charity 5K. It was both of them, and I did it with a group of people that not one of us was in good shape. So, but man, should do it. And you, I mean, didn't run the whole thing. I stopped and walked when I had to, but at least I did it. But yeah, to actually have a good time on, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, that would require some training for sure.
Yeah, I don't like 30 minutes. You know, it's just over 3 miles, so it's a little bit better than a 10-minute mile. You got to do about a 9:50, you know, to comfortably get in. You got to do about a 9:50 pace. And, you know, that I can do that. That's about where I go. Now, some of the guys I really, really respect, you know, the really good runners, they're running 7 minutes, you know, 7-minute miles, 7-plus. And, you know, and there's guys faster than that, obviously, you know. But the guy, you know, I'm never going to be a 7-minute guy, right? It's just never going to be in the cards for me. Whether it ever could have been or not, you know, we'll never know. But I certainly ain't never going to get there now. And, but I can get sub-10. I can get into that 9, you know, 9:50-ish area, you know, 9:45-ish area that it takes to get a 3.1 in under, you know, under 30 minutes. And I don't know. Is that good? I don't know. That's not fast. It's not, you know, it's running, you know, and pretty much the whole time, you know, so it's not a slouch time. I don't know how good it is. It's just it's a psychological thing for me, you know. I've done plenty of them in 33 or, you know, 32, 35, you know, it always just, you know, for me it just seemed like the magic number was 30 minutes, you know, if I could do one in 30 minutes. That's about, I've accepted the fact that's probably the best I'm ever going to be. So, but, you know, would I go do one, you know, doing 15-minute miles and, you know, coming in at 45? Sure, you know, why not? You know, it's more of a fast walk, a brisk walk, but still, you know, yeah, it's good for you.
Yep, roger that. Yep, so, no, that's a good goal and pretty achievable then, I guess. I never really figured it all out, but it sounds like you have, so. For me, I think a successful 5K for me would be one that I actually ran the whole thing. I don't care what the time is, where, you know, where I didn't have to stop and walk or even a brisk walk. I mean, literally, if I could run the whole thing, I think that would be awesome. So maybe I should make that a goal. and I do the I got a really good elliptical here. I just got to get a habit going again, and that's how I go about it. So, what time is your conference call?
3 o'clock. So I'm at 16 in the Quinter right now. I've got about 4 miles left, and I got to get inside, change. I like to get into my shorts and the T-shirt and get all set up. And the call is at 3 o'clock. So I'm still doing okay. But, yeah, well, if I don't know if that's in the cards for you or not, but I'm not going to say yes. I switched. I broke my ribs. And it's kind of ironic because I decided that running every day was just a little too much to wear and tear on my knees and my feet, my old knees and joints and legs. I needed some recovery time, so I said, you know, I can't be running every day. And I was pretty much running at least, you know, 5K every day. And in that, you know, 10-minute mile range, you know, basically. Some days worse, some days not much better, but I always tried to run in that 10 range. So I said, oh, I'm going to supplement it with biking. Maybe every other time I'll bike, you know, and that's a lot less wear and tear on the knees and the joints and anything like that. And so I got my bike all fixed up, and on the maiden voyage, literally, my buddy helped me get the thing all fixed, all new cables and tires, and I got the chain, and he went and adjusted everything, got the thing all right as rain, and I took off on my maiden voyage, first time on my bike since the 90s, you know, this is a few years back, and I was not even a mile from home, and I get run over by an SUV and break 3 ribs, couldn't run for a year, 6 months.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. That's just horrible. And that, you know, that puts a big dent, even if it is 6 months, not a year. That slows you down and gets you off that track. It's like, that's a lot of healing that's got to happen from that. So, anyway, I got to step away, and I will be back because I got to hit my desk. I don't know if you can chat when you're in your meeting or not, but I'll be back on at my desk shortly. So, KE8VSI, I will listen out.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be pulling in here, and then I got to rush and get everything set up, and then I don't know if I'll... It depends what direction it goes in. I got to... The meeting lasts several hours, and, sometimes they're off in physical construction, and I wander, and then all of a sudden they'll throw it to me, and they'll go, what about the security aspects, and the electronics? And I'm like, oh, what? Where were we? So, yeah, sometimes I can sneak away, sometimes I can't. And just one final point on the whole biking thing where I couldn't run. That did turn me into a maniac biker. I started biking, no less than 25 miles, sometimes every day, and turned me into a kind of a crazy biker. I got a really good bike, and so the ribs, because that's the one thing I could do. I couldn't run for like 6 months because of the broken ribs, but boy, I could bike. All right, catch you later. I'll be back later on. W8FU.
Wednesday we'll be at Metro Beach open house playing radio. I'm pretty sure I can make it. And let's see what else. Saturday I know we've got Leonard, I'm sorry. Will you give your respects for NAAE passed away. WAAE, he passed away, and then NAIGM, he passed away. He lives up north. So, anyway, then Sunday I'm tied up with my wife's birthday.
got a birthday present for her yet?
Oh, no, she passed away just under 2 years ago. Massive heart attack, very skinny, not overweight at all. COVID, she caught COVID very, very early. And I think part of it was the results of why her health declined. So, but she passed away peaceful.
I guess that's a consolation that she was passed away peacefully. That's the best way, I guess. So you're remembering her birthday. I know just a few days ago, it was the 13th of September, and that was my dad's birthday. I remembered him on that day. Hey, there a few times when I was younger, my mother made a big deal about it. I guess when he was crossing 30 and 40 and 50, those mile markers, as they say, back you won't.
Oh, yeah, I'm 82. Next month I'll be 83. Health has given me a little problems lately, but we'll work it out.
Not that far behind you. I turned 80 this year in May, and so, so far we're survivors, won't.
Don, W-A-A-E. I don't know if you know me, said we have the right to give our opinion. Just an opinion. We've seen a lot.
I know, knew Don. He never came over here, and I never went over to his place, but we met for breakfast, and I think had swaps and stuff like that more than once. And so, yeah, and he helped me out when I was just getting on the radio. He helped coach me, and I valued it, and he was quite knowledgeable. He's really enjoyed the radio, I know, and I believe to eavesdrop. I used to lurk a little bit and listen to him talking on the radio, so I wasn't the only one. Back to you.
Yeah, I feel, well, this is my last hobby. You know, I used to hunt and fish like men. In fact, the other day, they showed the canals off the Detroit River by Alter Road. And I seen my old boat well, 16-foot aluminum. We used to call them meat wagons, just for walleye fishing. Nothing glamorous, nothing to brag about, doing 100 miles an hour. And those were good days.
Telling me that your walleye fishing boat, 16-footer, did 100 miles an hour?
No, I was referring to I didn't need a boat to go 100 miles an hour. One of my sons had one of those. He just sold it last year and got a pretty penny for it. There's still people with money, you know, real money. And I never got into that type of boating, just fishing. Used to love my ice fishing, deer hunting, duck hunting. God, I remember the pheasant hunting. And you know, as a matter of fact, just down the street from me, a couple of miles north, I hunted the last pheasant season in Sterling Heights.
When I was a kid, Sterling Heights, even Warren was rather primitive. I know Mound Road, I think, pavement ended at 14 Mile Road, if I remember correctly. So I lived at the 11 Mile on Mound, and yeah, those were the days. 11 Mile Road was a two-lane road with two big ditches on either side. And it was rather interesting. Riding home on Sunday night, and I'd be in the back seat watching as these drunks weave in and out and plow into the ditch or plow into an oncoming car. I don't know how many times that happened on that 11 mile road after Trish would be coming home. And anyway, it got a flashback and some memories there. Well, yeah, I can see we have more than radio in common there, Bolt. You know, I heard your call sign when you called in here. I'm going to listen for your call sign again. This is AD8FK.
Oh, real good, Leonard. Are you into that Fusion Wire Sex Yaesu stuff?
I'm not, but I was working on a Yaesu radio, set it up for a new ham, and by accident, I got on a Fusion site and talked to a guy over in Rome, I think it was. It was in Italy. And we talked for a few minutes on there, and it was pretty exciting to be able to talk that clearly, you know, that far away. And back to you.
Yeah, like on Saturday nights. I haven't done it the last few weeks. I get into a net in Australia. You know, trying to get into this repeater in Topsail, North Carolina. They're having trouble with the weather down there, but some of these repeaters just aren't used anymore like they used to be. Oh, by the way, you mentioned, you know, how things change. I haven't done it in about 2 years, and that's walking the Red Run Drain south on 14 Mine Road, south of 14 on Van Dyke, east of Van Dyke, and you can't believe the deer in Warren.
Well, we have a herd right here in Madison Heights. They got the big Schwartz Park here. It used to be Simon's Woods, they called it, but they've changed the name a few times. But yeah, we have a number of deer that just wander around the subdivision here. They bunk down in my backyard, and in the springtime, I think they have their fawns, their little deer, and that's happened twice now in the last couple of years, and both of them will hang out there afterwards. And, of course, mine's not the only yard they do it on. I've seen them in other yards as well. So, yeah, they're a little gaunt. They're not too. They don't know where to go, and the woods is not really a lot of people walking through there, but I don't know. You're right. There's a bigger herd down here in the lower part of the mitten than up north, especially in the hunting season. I haven't hunted for several years now, but I don't know what. It won't be long. I don't know where they're going to go. What do you think?
You know, what used to be neighborhoods in Detroit are, you know, back to farmland, not farmland, but gone. You know, they just, people tell me there's deer herds in Detroit also. I'm sorry, it's about the only place you'll see pheasants is in a cemetery.
We was out, Sterling Heights, I think it's in Troy, but anyway, it's up north here, about 1718 Mile Road, and here's Tom, the Turkey Tom, right next to us, in the house next to us here, walk around here, big bird. We'll see if he survives Thanksgiving. Thank you.
WB80, well, I tell you what, a couple years ago, about maybe 3 years ago, what I'm referring to, Red Run Drain goes through Warren into Sterling Heights, not right through Clinton River into the lake. Somebody went and took a shotgun and got a 12-pointer right in the city of Warren. Unbelievable. My second cousin is the mailman on that block, so when I park there, people, you know, half... Oh, I'm sorry. I just push the talk buttons, give me trouble. Anyway, they got a 12-pointer.
I get cited for discharging a weapon in a city limits. I don't know. I have to be keep that under wraps somehow. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. I don't know how many. Have to be really careful about taking the opportunity. I know the guys that worked at General Motors. Before they did the development work there on Mound Road and 13 Mile, it was all woods. You know, I don't know, two or three guys went over there and got themselves a deer each, and they fired them. They don't. Anyway, that was. I think they made the a little raggy paper that we get around here. So you got to be careful. It cost them more than the cost of the meat there, that's for sure. Well, anyway, we'll go to hear you, Walt. I'll send it back to you. WBHE. This is ABHFK.
Leonard, yeah, I'm gonna clear. You have a great day. WBAD 73.
ABHFK clear. WANSC mobile.
K8RUH mobile.
What's up, W8FU?
Not much. Heading home from the office and with the intention of getting the grass cut today, I'm hoping I have enough time. That's today.
I'm lucky there. Grass is in good shape. I do got to get by the office. Speaking of the office, take advantage of my birthday discount, but probably won't.
Yeah, I could do that in the next X days. Yeah, if you're, I may be able to do something if you're available and/or interested. TBD as usual, but don't be afraid to ask. Yeah, I've been putting the grass off for days and days and days. It really ought to have been done yesterday, but I found a convenient excuse to skip it yesterday. Pushed it to today, so I should probably really do it today.
Yeah, that's how that works. I know I let mine get kind of long doing the same thing recently, but I tomorrow I got a bunch of stuff, and Wednesday I got to go to Lansing, so it's kind of out of the question, but I might take Thursday off. My son's got Thursday and Friday off. I may take Thursday and Friday when all's said and done, but I think we're going to try to tackle a major project that's just been an absolute thorn in my side for the last, as long as I can recall. I think we're going to get a good start and try to figure out exactly my next move. I can't let this summer come to an end without making some progress. So Thursday I may be around. I may be looking for a break at some point. I don't know. We'll see. I also may be grubby, dirty, and not in any mood to go get coffee. We'll have to see.
That's all good. Yeah, we'll see. I saw an email that Wednesday is a lark in the park, and I've got another something on Wednesday, and then something's in the evening, so I don't think I want to make it to lark. I would have liked to have done it on Saturday, but Saturday was tied up with the refrigerator debacle. We'll see. Yeah, that's about it. And sometime this weekend, probably either later this week or over the weekend, I gotta crank the tower down and get the antenna off it and start figuring out how to get that taken apart, assuming it's not rusted together in the 2.5 years it's been up. Maybe about 2 years. Yeah, maybe 2.5. Anyway, get that down and figure out what the next move will be.
With the water heater, do you have one of those on-demand ones now, I'm assuming, based on the way you described it? Was it the worst-case price?
Well, it's not on demand because the water heater also has an auxiliary circulator pump for the base or for the upstairs bathroom floor. When we had the kitchen redone, we did the bathroom above it, and I tucked us into a heated floor up there in lieu of the radiator, which I like the heated floor, but I should have dug in and said, no, we got to keep the radiator in there too. So now the whole bathroom is heated just on the heated floor, which makes it a little less. Anyway, that's not important. So because of that, it's not on demand. That system kind of works with a hot water tank. So that's what's there. And I don't know yet. They installed it, and they said, yeah, we got to figure out the billing, and got to check your warranty on the one you had. And so someone at the office will call you. So that's where we are right now. I don't know what it will be, but it's done. And they had a comfortably warm, though brief, shower this afternoon before heading in. So that was good.
So, well, then I guess you caught it early because, boy, when a tank goes, it can be a real mess. And is it in any way related to the other, or you just had two leaky water problems in a one-day span? That's just like crazy. Are they related?
Nope, as far as I can tell, completely unrelated. Just Friday the 13th, a day and a couple of days later. So, yep, unrelated items. And yeah, it could have been worse. It was not gushing water. Like I said, it was kind of like it was just peeing on the floor, for lack of a better analogy. So it was easy to clean up. There wasn't like, a lot of damage and stuff like that. As far as water heaters go, we had a failure 9 years ago, and it was much more epic. Water was bubbling up out of the top at a much, much higher rate. This was not quite like that, and I think we caught it early enough. Could have been way worse.
Oh yeah, last time I had one, it was, the bottom blew out, and I had quite a bit of standing water down in the basement. So lucky. Good deal. Oh man, I don't really need. We have forced air here, so not that I think that really makes all that much difference, but. I've been thinking about switching over to a on-demand, and probably sooner rather than later. I don't know. I got a lot of plans, right? And, I hate to do anything major structurally with all this stuff looming, because I hit the big 6-3 yesterday, and man, I'm 1 year past my first departure date. I'm every day, man, I'm closer and closer. I can't see myself going beyond 65, but so I got a lot of ducks I got to get in a row. I figure if I can get, I'm going to work on getting all the things on the outside I need done. I need to dump a bunch of cash out on the outside, a bunch of stuff I got to do. And then I'm going to sit down, I'm going to figure out what exactly I'm going to do with this, because I'm not happy with the way it is. So I don't know about stuff like that, because I may be changing things considerably, and mine is still okay, so no need to switch to anything right now. I mean, if you have to, you have to. What are you going to do, right? But not at that point, knock on wood.
Yeah, the on-demand ones are nice, and they do, they are more energy efficient in the long run, because they're not sitting there keeping a tank of water hot when you're, not using it for hours and hours or days and days on end. So they're a little tricky to install, but once you've done that once, you know, you can replacements much easier. But now we had to stay old school just based on the design of the system. We could have done something. We could have done something like that for the on demand for, you know, hot water usage in the house, and then done something different for the floor system. But that was going to be a that's someone else's project if they want to do that.
Yeah, no, I think either way, I do it just more because they seem to be easier to maintain and less traumatic when if they go. So, but I haven't priced them or anything, so I have no idea. I don't could be talking out my bottom. I have no idea. It seems to be a trend. I can't believe how much them damn things gotten. I haven't priced them since, you know, everything went up in price. God knows what they cost nowadays.
Well, I can tell you almost 50%, because basically the same water heater, 50-gallon, you know, gas, same company, whatever it was, Select Source or some, I don't know, but it was $11.40. So in November of 2015, 9 years ago, it was the same exact scenario. You know, woke up in the morning, bubbling water, called the contractor, they diagnosed it. You know, by 5 o'clock, it was hot water. And it was $11.40 at that time. And this would have been $1,600, you know, assuming that it's, you know, full price. I really hope that we get comped for the warranty on the water. I know we'll probably have to pay about half of the labor, but really hoping that they say, yeah, that was within the window. I'll probably find out that I only paid for 8 years and I missed it a year or something, which would be me.
Right. Well, you probably don't remember. You may or may not remember back when you originally purchased it, but were they pushing you towards something like, you know, oh, well, you don't need the 20, you know, or the 15, you know, it's like, you know, if something doesn't happen within 10, you're golden, you know, something like that, you know, it'll last forever. And then they know that statistically they all go at, like, you know, just over 10. So, I don't know. That's a wacky conspiracy. But, well, even the worst case scenario, it is what it is, you know. You got hot water, so good deal. Oh, man. Cost a lot of money to keep a place going. Adulting sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and, you know, we started pricing refrigerators, and like, well, this one, you know, we did not love it anyway. There were other issues that we had a previous fridge that we liked very much, but when we redid the kitchen in 2014, the way the kitchen was laid out, we had to get the split door, and because reasons, we ended up getting the side-by-side, which we've hated the whole time. But to try to price out a new fridge right now, holy smokes, you know, it's $2,500 to $5,500 for what I think we're looking for. I'm like, oh, so that's going to be, it's just going to be a cold box for a while in tap water until we decide to bite that bullet.
So it's just the water system, the cold water system and filter system that's got a leak somewhere? Are you sure that's not fixable? Is it cheap? You know, usually you can add those things to a fridge pretty cheap.
Well, it's twofold. There's an electrical problem in the freezer door that is preventing the ice maker part from working. So that's been dysfunctional for a while. It's just been water. And the electrical problem we had repaired twice, and it's just going to happen again and again. It's a bad design. So we've been on the outs with the fridge for a while, and this is sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. So it still works. It still keeps the frozen stuff frozen and the cold stuff cold, but the ice stuff hasn't worked in a while. Now the water also doesn't work, and it's going to be a different compounded repair. And we don't let the layout of the fridge.
Well, Well, I got mine on a recommendation, and just because they say you can't trust nothing, because it's just been a dog. It's a is that a French fry? I don't know, bottom freezer. It's got side by side up doors up top, but it's just the doors are just side by side. It's not an actual side by side, which I would hate. So we still get the full width, but you could choose to just open one side or whatnot. So it's got, is that a French door? Is that what that is? Anyhow, it's got the upper refrigerator on top, freezer on the bottom. It's a big pull-out. And that's what Andrea wanted. And I'm indifferent. You know, I understand, you know, that freezer on top, fridge on the bottom, you know, that's the most cost-effective, the most efficient, the best design. But who wants that? So I had to get the one Mama wanted. Then add to that I come to find out that we're not a standard opening, that we're like one step, like 1 inch down or 2 inches down from a standard opening. I think standard is 36, and it's amazing because you can get 36-inch refrigerators for, you know, these wonderful deals on these 36. To try to get the same thing in 34, oh my God. Double to triple the price, because, you know, but the 36s, that's the one they all got, and that's the one that they get the special on, but man, forget it. The minute you break from that standard width, geez, oh, Pete.
Yeah, the French door on top with the full width, and then the freezer drawer in the bottom, or a middle drawer as well, is kind of where it's going. And, I know there's pluses and minuses. And I don't remember, I know that ours has to be counter depth. When the kitchen was laid out, we did the counter depth. It's smaller, but you got a little more kitchen, and we don't have a big kitchen. So we, in order to maximize the amount of everything in there, we said, yep, smaller fridge is what we want and need. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the width is. Couldn't tell you.
Well, that's what we need, too. Ours is not. But that would have been what we needed as well. Our sticks out a little too far into a galley kitchen. So, yep, definitely something I'd like to fix. I'd like to build a kitchen, dining, you know, living, bathroom off to the side. Get that right, and then convert this all up here into just laundry and sleeping in a couple bathrooms. That's kind of where I'm leaning. This kitchen's terrible, and the layout of the house is horrible, and, you know, just, anyhow, enough on all that. What else is exciting, and where you at? You getting close?
Yep, I am just about home. I got about another 8 to a mile or so to get home. Yeah, I'm going to get a quick snack, and I think I'm going to try to head out and do the lawn. I just don't put it off any more days, although tomorrow is likely going to be a little more flexible time-wise. Wouldn't mind getting out there at 3 or 4 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock, whatever. So, all right, I'm going to turn over into the neighborhood soon, so I will say 7-3. But we'll talk to you soon. KADD.
Yeah, I could tell you started to get pretty prickly, and I heard everything, but you're starting to get snap, crackle, poppy, so. All right, have fun cutting the grass. We'll catch you later. K8BB from W8FU.
W-A-E-A-T.
and 8KPP on Richmond in Richmond.
Hello, Wally.
Hey, what's up? Only here for about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. We decided to try a different golf course tonight. It's Richmond Forest, so it was kind of nice. Something's different.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to drive through. Okay. I'm finally back. Sorry, I was in the drive-thru and got all discombobulated. So you're in here for probably now 2 minutes, because I wasted 2 minutes in the drive-thru there. I just ran out to grab a burger at Wendy's down the end of my street.
Yeah, well, we were thinking about changing golf courses next year. We've always been doing the Timberwood thing, and it's getting kind of old and boring. So tonight we decided to try this one in Richmond, and it's very nice. I mean, for a reasonably priced golf course, very nice, very well manicured, very well watered, considering the mini drought that we're in. So we had a good time, and we were talking to them about migrating, you know, because I don't imagine this weather is going to hold on very much longer. But we were talking to them about migrating to being in our little mini league to them next year, and they're all on for it. So I think next year it's going to be Richmond.
All right, very good. I'm trying to visualize it. Whereabouts is it at? And, you know, is it a full-blown, how many holes?
Regular 18-hole golf course, going to the what's considered the main street division in Maine as you're heading north. And you turn left and about, half a mile down on the left, maybe 6 or 7 tenths of a mile on the left. They're buried in there. I didn't even know where it was. So, but my son is a lot more of a golfer than I am. He suggested it, and I liked it. We liked it. So the consensus was, let's move.
Yeah, I'm still not sure I understand where. You said 32 in division there, right downtown, and then it's just off of which one? And north, south, east, west? I mean, I just, man, I can't visualize anything in that area.
It doesn't look like there's anything in their area. There's some, like, hops plants and stuff in front of it, but you go to that light. So let's say we were going to go to the antenna. You turn right. Instead of turning right, you would turn left. So you would be heading out 32, and it's about 7 tenths of a mile from that main light at Division and Main Street here in Richmond.
Down by the high school?
Yeah, past the high school some.
I'll be damned, I've never noticed it. That's weird. You'd think I'd notice a golf course, but, well, cool. Good to hear. Maybe one of these days I'll get back out there now that I got my wrist fixed.
They say it's not exercise, but I disagree. I think it's all exercise. If you're not at home sitting on the couch watching TV, so I think it's all exercise. Anything that we're active at our ages, I think is exercise. So I enjoy it. I sucked at it tonight. It was like I never golfed a day in my life, but I didn't care. So a couple beers, or as I call them, golf juice, and a bottle of water, and all is good.
Oh, yeah, you know, you're up and walking and, swinging and all that stuff. Sure, it's good activity, especially if you walk it. I doubt you walk it, though. But walking it would be some real good exercise.
Yeah, they kind of fallen on that, even when you're young and want to walk it because you hold up the play, you know, so they're trying to keep things moving along because at the end of the day, it's money. You know, I got it, you know. They have to get it when they can, so if they can get their $25 for every person, you know, they want, forget what they figure, 7 minutes or 8 minutes a hole or something like that. So, I don't think that, walking a golf course is an option around here.
because it would just tie up too much resources.
Yeah, gotta figure that out. They can keep them rolling better if everybody's carted up. So, all right. Anyhow, I'm here in the driveway. I'm gonna get inside with my Wendy's burger. I just decided to do something simple. You're probably just about there. Catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Cat later. Enjoy your burger. I'm gonna go to the commercial house and meet the kids. Grandkids, and I'll throw my call out when I get out of here heading home. W8FU from N8KPP.
K8RUH. Monitoring.
N8KPP, Richmond.